Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Ayin Vav. We find ourselves right in the middle of Ayin Hey Amud Beis. We are coming off of the Mishnah on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. So it discusses the following. So we know that if a woman has mumim, if she has any physical blemishes, so that needs to be communicated prior to the marriage. She needs to tell the husband that she has physical blemishes, and the husband will make them the decision. Okay, can he tolerate it? Can he not tolerate it? Good. An occasion of non-disclosure where she fails to tell him about these mumim. So that is a failure on her part. She should have disclosed. She didn't disclose. So under those circumstances, she forfeits her ksuva. It's something that she should have revealed to her future husband. She elected not to do so. That is considered something which she is culpable for. She has liability for that. And as a result of that, she's going to forfeit her ksuva. Good. Those are the basic outlines of the nature of mumim. Yesterday,
he has to disclose his.
Huh?
He has to disclose his.
Presumably. I assume it goes both directions. Okay. I could be wrong. But regardless, that's the basic outline. It is a question now of, it's a twofold question. One, maybe the Kedushin itself would be a Mekach Taos, and then maybe the Kedushin wouldn't even take place. Or alternatively, maybe the Kedushin would take place, but certainly there will be a forfeiture of the Ksuva. Okay, so, it can go in those kinds of degrees of what kind of failure it results in. Regardless, either way, certainly will be a forfeiture of the Ksuva, and then the Mishnah. So the Mishnah yesterday's daf, and Ayin Hey Amud Aleph on the bottom, so the Mishnah confused us. Not intentionally, but boy, it confused us. Why? Because there are two parts of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah was the discovery was made by Beis Erison, meaning it was after Erison, and then discovery of Mumim. And what did the Mishnah there say? That her family has to bring a Raya. In other words, she has to bring the Raya, the father has to bring the Raya. Later this morning, we're going to be talking about exactly who the Tohen is, who is exactly making the claim. Is it hers or father? If it's Beveis Avia and she was a Nara, so then the father really has jurisdiction. We'll come to that point later. Anyway, but right now, just to say it simply, she has to bring the Raya. And in the absence of bringing a Raya, so in other words, this will be, he'll be awarded the Ksuva. Okay. Which I say awarded the Ksuva, meaning he just simply won't have to pay. On the other hand, if it was post Nisuin, he has to bring a Raya. Okay. So the obvious question, which the Gemara struggled with yesterday, and we're going to continue struggling with today, and that is, well, pick a side. Meaning, you want to take a side? That's fine, but pick a side. In other words, right now the Mishnah is split right down the middle, and I don't understand. Now, in order to understand the Mishnah, so I said this yesterday, but let's say it again today, so that we can really wrap our heads around this Mishnah, and that what we have over here is basically competing chazakas. Meaning, she has what's called a cheskas aguf. Meaning she was not born with this mum. This mum came at a later point in time. But in other words, when she was born, we're assuming that she was not born with this. Later, the Gemara is going to point out there are certain mumim which obviously she was born with. A six digit on a hand. Okay, that didn't materialize after she was born. She was born with that. Okay, and later the Gemara is going to acknowledge that point. But we're going to assume for now, for this moment, that the mumim came at a later point in time. So what it means to say, she is what's called a cheskas aguf. Now, what does he have? He has what's called a cheskas mamon. In other words, it's his money that's riding on this question of when did the mum materialize. So you have cheskas aguf versus cheskas mamon. So what's going to win? So again, this is all just by background and introduction. We go back to what we learned in the first parak of the Masechta. This is the machlokas tanaim, the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. In a scenario where he marries her, turns out that she was not a basula. And then the tainus and the claims and the counterclaims. So what's Rabbi Gamliel's basic position? That ne'emena, she's believed. Why? Why is she believed? Because she has cheskas aguf. And Rabbi Yoshua says she's not believed. Why? Because he has a cheskas mamon. So this tension of which chazaka is going to win, is going to beat which chazaka. So this is just simply an expression of the machlokas tanaim of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel says cheskas aguf is going to win out. And Rabbi Yoshua says cheskas mamon is going to win out. Good. So now let's take all that and let's translate that over here. So the mum was discovered when? So the Mishnah says it matters whether it was during Erisin or during Nisuin. The Gemara basically says, I don't understand. If you are siding with Rabbi Yoshua, so what are you always going to favor? Him, because he has his cheskas mamon. If you're Rabbi Gamliel, who are you going to favor? You're going to favor her, because she has a cheskas aguf. So, but when the Mishnah now is splitting the difference, how do you understand that? Good. So that's the question that we got to yesterday, and we already got through one answer. Yesterday's answer, the Gemara said, let me say B'Shem Omro, will be Mavius HaGeula. So the first answer is said over by Rebbe Lazar. Okay, so Rebbe Lazar says that Tabra. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to break up the Mishnah. You're right. In other words, the Mishnah is over here. Our Mishnah over here is a broken Mishnah, meaning that there's the first half of the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah. In the first half of the Mishnah, where the burden of proof goes on her, so the first half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua. And en achinami, meaning within the first half of the Mishnah, you could even push it forward. Meaning the mum was discovered during Erison, the mum was discovered during Nisuin. It doesn't matter. Meaning in the first half of the Mishnah, the burden of proof is always going to go on her because Cheskas Mammon always is going to beat Cheskas Aguf. Meaning the first half of the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. And then the second half of the Mishnah, totally new Shita. Second half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says Nemenis. And in the second half of the Mishnah, Nemenis, it doesn't matter if it's post-Nisuin. It doesn't matter if it's post-Erusin. In other words, she is Nemenis. Why? Because the second half of the Mishnah is a reflection of Rabbi Gamliel and her Cheskas Aguf is going to beat out his Cheskas Mammon. Okay, so that's the first way that we approach the Mishnah. Tabra, you break the Mishnah into two halves, reflecting two different Tanaim. Okay, granted, it's not an elegant way to read the Mishnah, right? The solution of Tabra never is elegant, but okay, that's approach number one. Where we're up to and where we're going to pick it up right now is that we're going to pick it up on Rava. Rava could be found halfway down on Ayin Hayim and Beis, and this is now going to be answer number two. Rav Amar, Reisha Kanimsu Kanhayu, Seva Nami Kanimsu Kanhayu. So Rav's answer is as follows, that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, and this is the way Rashi sets it up, the entire Mishnah is going like Rav Gamliel. And that is that we operate with the Cheskas Aguf. However, what you have to take also into consideration is, where was the mum discovered? Location, her location when the mum was discovered. So if we go back to the Shas Erisin, she's still living with her father, she's living with her family. So Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hayu, which means that the mum came up over there, meaning it materialized during Erisin. And, in other words, prior to Erisin, where was she living? Same location. So that means to say that the mum materialized while she was living in her father's house. Over here, once she enters into the husband's house, Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hayu. So they came over here. A little bit, by the way, I'm not really explaining the Gemara, but a little bit like Shinui Makom. In other words, so once you move to a new location, so now it kind of resets your chazaka. So, and so therefore, remember, according to Rabbi Gamliel, what do we say? We say that we have her Cheskas Aguf, and her Cheskas Aguf is strong. So that's true, her Cheskas Aguf is strong. But once she now moves to the, and her Cheskas Aguf is strong. So when she was living in her father's house, so she has her Cheskas Aguf, and it's strong, but Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu. Since it was found in the base of where she was living, so the way Rashi describes it, and he expresses it, Isrei cheskasei da'av. De'ikla meimer kanayu kodem erusin. Meaning if it was there in the father's house, it's been there for some time. Meaning the mum just didn't materialize, it was there earlier. Masha'en came once she moves to her husband's house, so at that point in time, kan nimtzu kan hayu. Meaning which will bolster her claim that it just came about, it just materialized. Okay, so this is Rava's attempt to explain the Mishnah, and the Gemara is bothered by this attempt. Eisvei Abaye, so Abaye immediately challenges. Nichnasu l'rishus Habal. Habal tzarech lahavi raya shah shalo tisari sayyaba momim. Eilu vayu mekach taos. So let's go over to a Braisa. A Braisa over here, really simple, really straightforward. And that is that he went through Erisin and he went through Nisun with her. Good. And she has a mum. And now, burden of proof goes on, well, we know. In other words, we learned the Mishnah. Burden of proof now is on the husband. Now, what does he have to prove? In other words, he has to bring witnesses that would demonstrate that she had this mum pre-Erusin. Now, the Gemara says, now think about that. Pre-Erusin. Is that really what he has to prove? Meaning, according to you, Rava, what does he have to prove? The only thing he needs to prove is that this mum existed pre-Nisuin, post-Erusin. As long as he could date this mum back to any time that she's beveis avia, that would be sufficient, according to you, Rava. So the Ajlo Tisaris in Mishin Nisaris Lo. V'amai lema kan nimsu kan hayu. So the Gemara says, okay, but according to you, Rava, meaning you now are operating with this brand new svara of kan nimsu kan hayu, so that means that once all he needs to do is backdate the mum to any time between Eris and Nisuin, and then we're going to employ the rule of kan nimsu kan hayu, and that means that she had the mum beveis avia, and she had it even earlier as well. So Amar le Mishin Nisarsa Mishum Dika Lamemar Chazakin Adam Shosa because Ella Im Kain Bodko Vahai Rav and Nifaisu. So the Gemara says no, because when the husband married this woman through Nisuin and the mum was discovered, and all he's able to do is bring it back to any time between Eris and Nisuin, and that's the only time that he can backdate it. That's insufficient grounds. That's insufficient evidence. Why? Because what she can counter is the following. She has a chazaka on her side, an additional chazaka on her side. And what is that? Meaning, what just happened over here? Meaning, somehow, we went from Erisin to Nisuin, and only after Nisuin you're discovering the mum, right? Chazaka, in Adam Shose Bekos Elim Kein Bodko. So before you drink from a cup, you know what you always do? You look inside to make sure, like, does it look good? Yeah, right? And obviously, Bederech Mashal, meaning he must have done some sort of basic inspection examination between going from Erisin to Nisuin, or let's say even better, to even go from before Erisin to after Erisin. So you have that chazaka working in her favor. So because you have the chazaka working in her favor, the only way he's going to be able to prove his case that this mum existed, right, and it was a pre-existing mum, is only if he goes back to before Erisin. So the Gemara says, Yihache Shaloti Tzaris Nami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, once you introduce me to this brand new chazaka, the chazaka of Ein Adam Shosa Bekos, so that means to say that, wait a second. So right now, when do we discover the mum? After Nisuin. If he can prove that this mum existed before Erisin, and so what? Right now, that proof is going against a chazaka. The chazaka of Ein Adam Shosa Bekos. A person doesn't drink a cup before looking at it. So Allah Amrina chazaka, the Ein Adam Ifayis B'mumin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what you have against that is another chazaka, which is that, look, if he saw the chazaka, he probably would have been turned off. So Hachinami chazaka, Ein Adam Ifayis B'mumin. So over here, so we have that chazaka. So the Gemara says, okay, so when you're taking now, when we're taking stock and account, and basically what we have over here, we have a lot of chazakas that are floating around. And so the Gemara now basically tries to wrangle all these chazakas together. Ella. Mishin Nisarsa Mishim Di Katarte Chazaka. So, if let's say the only thing that he can prove is that the mum was there after Erisin, so now you have the, you have not one, but you have two chazakas working in her favor. Number one, Hamida Gufa Cheskaso. She has what's called Cheskaso Guf, which is, that's baseline, meaning that's Rami Gamliel. And on top of that, Ein Adam Shosa Bekos Elim Kein Bodko. And on top of that, look, how do we get here to Erisin? Right? How did we get here? So in other words, we obviously crossed the threshold from before he was Mekadisher to after he was Mekadisher. Yeah, but before he was Mekadisher, don't you think he'll do some basic examination or base, not he per se? Sorry, but don't you think he'll ask some basic background questions, have some sort of background check, maybe have a family member do an examination, which that part's unlikely. But yeah, in other words, again, there's a basic idea that he'll do some sort of examination. Ein Adam Shosa Bekos Elim Kein Bodko. Those two chazakas now are operating in her favor. And hi, Rav Nifayisu, Maya Mart. Chazak Ein Adam Ifayis B'mumin. And what are you going to tell me? Counter that with the chazaka that if a person saw a mum, he's not going to be open and receptive to it. So have a chadam amakam tarde v'chadam amakam tarde lo arminan. So that's just one chazaka against two chazakas. She has two chazakas in her favor, and he has one chazaka in his favor. Now, achilotisares, but now, if he can prove that the mum existed before Erisin, so now what just happened? So we just took away one of her chazakas, the chazak of Ein Adam Shosa Bekos. So that takes away one of her chazakas, and now what does that bring us to? So, achilotisares, so heme gufa al-cheskasa lo ikla memar. Maika chazaka de Ein Adam Shosa Bekos alim kun boko. So, hi, Rav Inifaisu, Adarabah. So basically what that does is that brings you now to a one-to-one chazaka. They basically knock each other out. And so therefore, now he is going to, so to say, win the battle simply because now the two chazakas knock each other out. And now what are you looking to do? Take money away from him? No, you can't do that. Once the chazakas are knocking each other out. Okay. Admittedly, a complex way to try to resolve the answer that was given by Rava. So again, so this the second answer of the Gemara, which basically we just finished, is that according to Rava, the reason why in our Mishnah it matters where the mum was found. Was it found by Beis Aviyah? Was it found by Beis Bala? When we say Beis Aviyah, we mean post Eristin, prior to Nisuin. When we say Beis Bala, we mean post Nisuin. So when was the mum discovered? So if the mum was discovered b'veis aviyah, so Rava says that our Mishnah, which follows Rabbi Gamliel, who has what is generally a cheskas aguf, which normally favors her, but if the mum was found b'veis aviyah, kanim tzu, kanhayu. It means that the mum existed here for some time. I was found b'veis ba'ala, now kanim tzu, kanhayu. Okay, that's the svar behind Rava, but what is difficult and tricky is that we just went through a brisa, we just try to learn the brisa, and admittedly, it's a little bit difficult, but the Gemara navigated through the brisa, and so what we have now is supported the answer of Rava, and now we're up to answer number three.
Isn't that a tan against him? It doesn't knock out everything, because he accepted it. He checked. I don't understand
why. But we don't know. Meaning, we don't know. For sure, he should have checked. In other words, but right.
He checked. And he was willing to accept even her with a mum.
Right. In other words, the pshat of chazaka ein adam shos bekos elim kein bodko means that there are certain presumptions that we are making. So the presumption now, yes, it's a knock on him, and it's a favor to her, but we don't know that happened. In other words, it's just another assumption that we're putting in the hopper in terms of trying to figure out, like, who has more credibility.
But isn't that irrelevant? Because you married her, you didn't vote it, it's your fault.
No, it's not a question of assigning blame, although I do hear that point. It's a question now of what's the most likely explanation for why we're only finding the mum right now? Like, give me the most likely explanation. So now, basically, what the Gemara is saying is, okay, I have this assumption I can make, I can have that assumption I can make, otherwise known as chazakas. And then, using these chazakas, we're going to now construct what is the most likely presentation of, here's what happened. It's not, I do hear your point, Mitch, but it's not so much an assignment of fault. It's just basically, let's try to explain what happened using the chazakas.
But he missed it, obviously.
Yeah, correct.
Why'd you miss it for? Well, because I got engaged. I didn't know any different.
Right.
He says, I don't know. I know I'm 12 years old.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Everyone says she's the diamond, right?
Correct. Okay. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar Reisha Mana Abali Biadecha and Seifa Mana Li Biadecha. Okay. And so now here we are with answer number three, as Rashi points out over here. What Rav Ashi is endeavoring to do is not break up the Mishnah. Meaning this, both the last two answers, Rav's answer and the answer that we're about to learn right now, is obviously in contradistinction to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, Tabra, just break the Mishnah up. Meaning, there's no way to synthesize the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just simply representing two different shitas. Good. That was Rabbi Lazar. And now the answer number two and answer number three is, no, let's not do that. Let us try to synthesize the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going like one shita. They're both going to say it's like a Rabbi Gamliel. As Rashi points out a couple times in today's daf, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. So it's just better to set up a Mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel. So Rav Ashi is going to do the same thing. Rav Ashi says, what's the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? Who is the Tohen who's making the claim? In other words, remember now, this is the father marrying off his daughter. So in the Reisha, so who is the Tohen? The father's the Tohen. In the Sefer now, where she goes from Erisin to Nisuin, so remember what happens at Nisuin, we've gone over this time and again, she now is severed from the father. She's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father. And now, who is now the Baal HaTaina when it comes to the woman? Because again, now what's happening is that the Taina is that he's saying, wait, this mum that what I just discovered has been here for a long time, he didn't disclose it. And she says, no, it just materialized. But in the Sefer of the Mishnah, she's now the Baal Taina. Okay, now, What difference does it make? Who's making the taina? So, as Rashi points out, and it's clear this is a simple pshat in the Gemara, because when Rabbi Gamliel says that she is ne'emenes, it's because she has a cheskas aguf. Ah. So what Rav Ashi's arguing is that her cheskas aguf gives her ne'emenes when she's making the taina. But if the father's making the taina, now granted, and I understand this is going to be a little bit difficult, but I'm going to try. I'll try to explain it. I'll try to understand it. The other way around. I'll try to understand it, and then I'll try to explain it. But when the father's making the taina, it's not his cheskas aguf. Obviously, he's arguing over his daughter's cheskas aguf, but still, what Rav Ashi's arguing is that once you separate the person making the taina and her cheskas aguf, so it's not as strong a taina. And that's why, so according to Rav Ashi, Reisha manale abba biyadecha. So, since she's not the one making the claim, and it's not the father's cheskas aguf, so therefore it weakens. Therefore, burden of proof goes on the father. On the other hand, in the sefer where she's making the taina and it's her cheskas aguf, that gives her extra credibility, and therefore now the burden of proof turns to the husband. No. The difference between Eros and Nisuin. In other words, at Erusin now, the father she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. So the father now is the one making the taina over his daughter's cheskas aguf, right? And then post nisuin, now she's making the taina. So Eisve Rav Achabri, Rav Avila, Rav Ashi, Moda Rabbi Meir, B'mum Emaru in Lavo Ima Beveis Avia Al Ha'av Lahavi Raya. So Rav Meir is Moda that Mum Harim Lavo, meaning if this mum most probably came from a previous life. and then it sounds like I'm talking about Gilgulim. In other words, if most likely this mum came historically at an earlier point in time, Rav Meir is going to say, look, at this point in time, we don't have to litigate. Now, as Rashi points out right now, the havamin of the Gemara right now is that we're talking about pretty much any kind of mum. So am I, manalibia dechahu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, if we're talking about a cheskas aguf, isn't there a cheskas aguf powerful? So the Gemara says, achma maiskin be yaseres. So, yaseres my raya maisi. Raya de rav and ifayisu. So the Gemara says, we're talking about yaseres, we're talking about an extra digit. In other words, she is now in the marriage with a six finger. Again, what's it called? Please ignore me for the next 15, 20 seconds, right? I'm sorry, Ben, you just walked in as I'm going to say something nonsensical. I apologize, but fame pitcher for the Marlins. Sorry, I'm here in South Florida. So fame pitcher for the Marlins, Antonio Fonseca. I know this is going back some years ago, but he had an extra digit on each of his hands. Right? I did this last cycle as well. I'm absolutely obsessed with this pitcher. So just the idea of having an extra finger and being able to pitch and whether or not it even affects or influences his pitching. They made for him a special glove to put on his other hand. Okay, good. Nonsense over. Let's go back to learning Torah. So she comes into the marriage with an extra digit. And as such, in other words, there's no way right now we could argue that this just materialized. It's congenital. We all know it's congenital. So the Gemara says, so then what are we litigating? Meaning if we know that it was congenital, so the only thing left to litigate is, was there, in other words, he knew about it, right? You can't argue he didn't know about it. So the only thing that you can argue is, in other words, at the time of Kedushin, was he Mekabel? If he was Mekabel, fine. If he was not Mekabel, not fine. But in other words, that's the only thing left to litigate in such a scenario.
That's okay. Not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about it's not congenital.
Correct. And right, exactly. And our Mishnah is talking about where it's not congenital. And it's not congenital. And then the back and forth in terms of when did it materialize. And she has a cheskas aguf. And now, according to Rav Ashi, the difference between Reish and Seifa is who's making the taina. The father's making a taina. Because it's not the father's cheskas aguf, so therefore it weakens his taina. In the seif of the Mishnah, she's making the taina on her cheskas aguf, stronger taina. Okay. Adkan. That takes us now through the three different answers of our Mishnah. So basically what we have now is a Mishnah, a difficult Mishnah, and we just went through three different answers in terms of how to explain our Mishnah. Rav Elazar's answer of Tabra, breaking the Mishnah up into two different sections, where the first part of the Mishnah is a reflection of Rabbi Yeshua, second part of the Mishnah is a reflection of Rabbi Gamliel. We then have Rav's answer. Rav says, Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, that the location of where the mum was found is going to be significant. It's going to be a determinant. If the mum was found in her father's house, that means that mum was there for some time. The mum was discovered only after she moves from her father's house to her husband's house, i.e. post-Nisuin. So therefore, that's where the mum now is not only discovered, but where it materialized. Kan nimsu kan hayu. And then finally, the answer of Ravashi, and that is that the cheskas aguf is only going to be significant when the taina is being made by the person who has the cheskas aguf, i.e. her. But that's only after Nisuin. At the point of Erisin, the father's making the taina on her cheskas aguf, and therefore it's insufficient.
Our okay. Mishnah is only going from Nairis, but Bagris, she's her own person.
Yeah, correct, correct. Meaning, right, correct. In other words, if the Mishnah is a Bogeris, so then as far, certainly Rav Ashi now would change his, would say that the Mishnah would give us a different series of halachas. Correct. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of the first half of today's daf. Now we move on to, we're not turning the page yet, but this is basically now, we're the second half of today's daf, and admittedly, this next part is going to be a bit of a challenge. But okay, let's see how well we navigate. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmal Amachlif Parbe Chamor. So, what we have over here is a barter, an exchange. Okay, so you have a cow, I have a donkey, and so now Mashak Bal Chamor Sapara. So in this exchange show, we're looking at Kinyanim, and what is going to affect a transfer. So you need a kinyan. You need an act that demonstrates that you are now the owner of the item. And over here, because we're talking about a barter, so what's going to happen is that once I do a kinyan on one item, so the other item now is going to move possession, transfer ownership. So with my kinyan, I'm affecting a transfer of ownership on both items, being that we're describing a barter. So far, so good, nice and simple. Mashab al chamor sapara. So the owner of the chamor does now mashich on the para. So and now he calls up the balapara. Now I'm calling him the balapara. In other words, every time I say balapara, I'm talking about original ownership. So if we can just keep it straight, because I know, in other words, we are transferring ownership. So the bal chamor and balapara are confusing ways to describe them. Maybe it'd be better if I gave names. Regardless, whenever I say balapara, I'm talking about original owner, and same thing with bal chamor. So now the bal chamor calls up the balapara and says, "Look. Right, I just did a meshicha on your para. Come and pick up your chamor. No problem at all." And what happens is that when he goes and picks up the chamor, so the car doesn't start. Well, obviously, we're predated by automobiles by just a couple of years. So over here, so when he goes to pick up the chamor's dead. Okay, and now the obvious question, which is wait. He calls up the balpara and says, "Do you know?" He calls up the Bal Chamor to say, your donkey's dead. So Bal Chamor says, I'm sorry, that's terrible news, right? Thank you so much for sharing with me. Just one correction. It's not right. Correct. Right. Perfect. What a great setup. Right. With just one correction. It's not my donkey. It's your donkey. Okay. But otherwise. Right. Correct. The donkey's dead. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. But it's not mine. It's yours. Okay, so here we now have a classic dispute, and you can easily see both sides of the argument, right? This is an easy one to basically get stuck right in the middle, meaning right now, new? So, huh? Yeah, when did it die? V'lo hispik balapar limshoch es ha-chamor ha-shem es ha-chamor. And so new, the chamor died.
Isn't limshoch a word not true? To take. Limshoch means to make a kinyan
mashicha. Yeah.
Not make a kinyan. The kinyan was already made, wasn't it?
No.
From one size makes a mashicha.
Correct, true. Correct. In other words, right, the Baal Para. So the Baal Chamor now takes the Para, and now with that act of Mashicha, that created a transfership of both.
The first Mashicha that created
there was only one Mashicha. Sorry.
You need both Mashichas to create the Baal.
You don't need two. There was one Mashicha that was done. With the Mashicha.
He doesn't do a Mashicha.
No, the Kenyan was a Kenyan Mashicha. And now, correct. Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. No. I'm with him. The Lushan. He's right about the Lushan. In other words, you're correct. Right. Limshach over here. Correct. Now, Mitch. Now I see. Now I see you. Okay. I'm with you. You're right. The second limshach just simply means to take it. You're right. The language is a little confusing. So, so now burden of proof goes on whom? It's a great question. And you can argue in one of two ways. And what do you think is going to happen? We're gonna argue in one of two ways. So for today, I know how far we're going to get today. So today we're going to argue one way. And tomorrow, please come back. We're going to argue another way. Okay, so good. If you didn't like the way today ended, good. Come back tomorrow. So, Al Baal Chamor Lavi Raisha, Chamor Kaim Vishas Mashiach Paro. Okay, so the Baal Chamor now is going to have, the burden of proof is going to be on the Baal Chamor. So the he has to bring evidence that the animal died only after he did his Mashiach. And now, Tanatuna Kala. And now...
But he already has the cow, right?
Yeah.
So, but Chazaka is with him because
okay, good. Okay, you're at the next step. Meaning, you're trying to now think it through in terms of Chazakas, and you're doing the right thing. Just we're getting there. The Gemara is approaching that point. So Vitana to Nakala, and then he says, and oh, by the way, not only am I convinced that the burner proof goes on the Baal Chamor, but in other words, it's an explicit Braisa or Mishnah. Meaning, I have a Braisa, and you know what, Kala. Meaning, just look at the Mishnah of Kala. And you'll know that I'm right. Okay. That's the easy part. Okay. Now what we have to do is that we have to go through our Mishnah and see which part of the Mishnah, first of all he said was Tana Tuna Kala. Like, look at the Mishnah Kala. Like, you'll see I'm right. And now all the heavy lifting is left for us. We have to now go to the Mishnah, see which part of the Mishnah got him thinking, and which part of the Mishnah clearly shows evidence that the Baal Chamor is the burden of proof is on the Baal Chamor. Okay, so, hi Kala, Ilema. Okay, now we're on the Amud Beis. Ilema Kala Beveis Avia. So let's take a look at Kala Beveis Avia. Now, the way Rashi sets it up, and admittedly, this part's tricky and this part's difficult, but the way Rashi sets it up is that right now, remember, when we're looking at our Mishnah, whose lens are we looking at when we're looking at our Mishnah? Right? In the first half of today's daf, what did we learn together? There are a number of different ways to look at our Mishnah. The Rav Elazar lens of break the Mishnah up into two parts. The Rava way and the Rav Ashi way of don't break the Mishnah up into two parts. Okay, and then just a question of how to resolve the distinction between the two sides of the Mishnayos. So, that's why this part of the Gemara now today is really tricky. Because as much as we're looking at our Mishnah to use as a source to teach me the halacha of Chamor Para, but I want to know, when I'm looking at the Mishnah, right, there are different lenses of how to look at our Mishnah. Okay, so, the way Rashi sets it up is that we're going to be assuming, like Rebbe Lazar, that our Mishnah is broken. And you break up the Mishnah, and one part is Rabbi Yeshua, and the other part is Rabbi Gamliel. And we're going to assume right now that we're looking at the Rabbi Yeshua side of the Mishnah, and Rashi does note a little bit later on in today's daf that is a little bit strange that we are now going to be learning a halacha based on Rabbi Yeshua. And meanwhile, of course, Rabbi Yeshua is not the accepted halacha, and that part's strange, and Rashi says, noted. Okay, good. So anyway, but Kala Beveis Avia, so let's take a look at Kala Beveis Avia. Meaning, now what do we know by Kala Beveis Avia? So again, now what are we doing? We're obviously litigating her money, right? She got a mum. Do we know when she got the mum? No, we don't know when she got the mum. And when she's Beveis Avia now, who does the burden of proof fall upon? So the burden of proof is going to be falling on, her. Okay, so money now is, now, this is not exactly the same. The Gemara is going to point that out. But it's not exactly the same. But there is a mum. She's trying to get her money. And the burden of proof now is on her. So, Kala Beveis Avia, mi dami. So, and remember that according to Rabbi Yoshua, not only is it Kala Beveis Avia, but according to Rabbi Yoshua, even if it's Kala Beveis Bala, she still has the burden of proof. So, in other words, she entered into the second stage of marriage, and she still is going to have a burden of proof. Despite the fact now that quote unquote ownership has been transferred. Okay, forgive me for being just Yeah. So me dummy. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but it's still not comparable. So the me dummy hausa maisa avraya umapik. So the Gemara says that look, over there We're talking about bringing proof and extracting money. Hacha, over here, in the case of the exchange of cow and donkey, so Maisi Baal Chamor Raya Umukim. All the Baal Chamor is looking to do is just simply bring a Raya so that the money stays where it's at. In other words, what he's looking for is status quo. That's much different than the case of our Mishnah, where in the case of the Mishnah, proof is there to extract money.
So he has,
he has it already. Okay. So the, so as much as that might be a Raya, it's not a good Raya. So I'm a Rabbi Abba, Kala Beveis Chameha. So what we'll do now is that we'll go in the other direction. Kala Beveis Chameha. And again, explaining the Gemara like Rashi, and that is right now we are moving to we're moving to Rabbi Gamliel. So she is Beveis Chameha. According to Rabbi Lazar, you're breaking up the Mishnah into two halves. And right now we're siding with the second half of the Mishnah, which is the Shita Rabbi Gamliel. And again, according to Rabbi Gamliel, what do we say? Cheskas Aguf. Cheskas Aguf is going to beat out Cheskas Mamon. And remember now, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Cheskas Aguf works under all circumstances. Meaning both in the case where she moved over to her father's house, and even the case where she hasn't moved over. Now, what does that tell us? That the Cheskas Aguf tells me that the money is going to go to her under all circumstances. And in the case of Machlif Par B'chamor, so what the Baal Chamor wants is that the money stay status quo where it's at. Similar to the case of the Mishnah, where she's demanding that her Cheskas Haguf stay status quo where it's at. So the Gemara says, Akati lo dami. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Even as we transfer over to the Shita Rabbi Gamliel, not comparable. Hasam bal maisi raya umari lele lechaske da'av. Look, what's going to happen now is that the husband's going to bring a proof, and he is going to disrupt the cheskasav. Cheskasav meaning really cheskasaguf, her chazaka. Hacha, but over here, bal chamor maisi raya emukim cheska biyadei. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to create a status quo chazaka. Meaning, are we looking to upset the chazaka? Are we looking to establish, but sustain the chazaka? And so that's a big difference between the case of our Mishnah and the case of the chamor. Again, in our case of our Mishnah, so she has a mum. And now the proof is there to tell us that the mum didn't just it wasn't there forever, but in other words, it just materialized. Mashenkin over here, the chazaka in the case over here is that everything should stay status quo. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, okay, Kala Beis Avia Ulekidushin. So the Gemara says, okay, let's do a better comparable. We're trying to find a comparable. Again, let's reset. We have the Baal Chamor Baal Para, and in exchange, and the Baal Chamor does Mashiach on the Para, and now when the Baal Para comes to pick up his Chamor, it's dead. When did it die? We don't know. And so Tainas now are going, and burden of proof is falling on whom? So right now, the way Shmuel says it, is that the burden of proof is now on the Baal HaChamor. He has the burden of proof. Now we're looking for a comparable from our Mishnah that would indicate that this is in fact correct. That the Baal HaChamor, the burden of proof is on the Baal HaChamor. So what's a comparable case? So far we struck out twice. Well, I didn't strike out, but in other words, we swung twice. Sorry, better analogy. So we swung twice and we missed twice. So let's find the following comparable, and that is, we're talking about Kala Beveis Avia. Now, Kala Beveis Avia, so what are we talking about? The Kedushin, the Kesef Kedushin. Now, remember, every time that you have a Kedushin, not every time, but yes, let's say it every time. There are three different ways to be Mekadosh, but the practical way it's done, and even Bizmana Gemara, is that it was done because of Kedushin. So that means that she received Kesef Kedushin. Now the father married her off, so the father now is receiving Kesef Kedushin. And right now we're no longer litigating the Ksuva. We're talking about the Kesef Kedushin. This is a good comp. Why? Because now the money's been given over to the father. Good. Now the money's been given over to the father. Now what happens, Bebeis Eirusin, is what? A mum is discovered. This is a good comp. Because the money's now been transferred, and now a mum has been discovered. And now, who is there to have to prove that the mum pre-existed? The father has to prove. And he's holding the money. Oh, okay. That's a pretty good comp. Right? In other words, over here, now go to the case of the Chamor and the Parah. Think it through now. Now it's similar. Right? In terms of the Baal Chamor, he already took the Parah. So now he's holding the Parah in his hand. And now as the Baal Parah is coming up to pick up the Chamor, knew it died. And now who has to prove when it died? The Baal Chamor has to do. Oh. Much like the father who's already taken the money, the Kesef Kedushin money, and now the daughter has the mum, who's got to prove it? The Mishnah told us. The father has to prove it. That's a good comp.
You know the Cheskos Mammon is to the Baal Chamor and to the father?
Well, that's exactly the difficulty over here. And you talk about Cheskos Mammon. Everyone's, who doesn't have a Cheskos Mammon right now? Meaning that the Baal Chamor already picked up his...
Baal Chamor is no Cheskos. He gave the money. He gave over his part already.
Yeah, good.
And same thing.
He's lost his little donkey.
Right. In other words, and what he was expecting to now receive is a donkey. Okay, good. So we're trying to right now. In other words, before the we're looking for a comparable case in our Mishnah that would that would indicate that this is in fact the correct psak by Shmuel. Good. So this example of kedushin seems to be a fantastic source. And the Gemara says, "Ve'akati lo dami." No, what happened? I lost my spot. So Kala Bevesavia and the Ula Kiddushin. Good. So the Gemara says, Velo Tema Aliba Demanda Amra Kiddushin Lavli Tibur Nitnu Ela Afila Manda Amra Kiddushin Litibur Nitnu. So Hani Mila Kiddushin Vadai Ava Kiddushin Taos Imaisi Raya Ini Lolo. Okay, Kiddushin Litibur. Okay, if you're unfamiliar with this phrase, for sure give you a pass because... You can learn the entire Masechta Kedushin and not come across this. It's a Baba Basra term, but regardless, what it means is the following. It's an interesting Diyan. When a woman receives Kesef Kedushin, so obviously it's her money, correct? Is there any strings attached to the Kesef Kedushin that she received? Let's say, for example, she received Kesef Kedushin and he died. Does the Kesef Kedushin have to be returned?
Okay.
He died before Nisuin. Okay, I'm just saying this as a mashal. This is not the same halacha. But in other words, a woman gets an engagement ring and the engagement is broken. Does she have to return the engagement ring? Okay, good. So, right, and if we're pausing and we're thinking and we're not sure of the answer because it's a similar question. I'm just saying it b'derech mashal. It's a similar question. In other words, was that ring given conditionally or unconditionally? Okay, so the Kesef Kedushin, given conditionally or unconditionally. What do you think? It's a machlokas. So, in other words, the one position is that it's litibuin. What does tibuin mean? Right? You're sinking the ship. So, it's a great mashal. Meaning, basically, I'm giving you the Kesef Kedushin. Look, obviously, we're married now, and the hope is that we're going to get to the second stage of marriage. But, in other words, whatever happens from this point forward, the money's yours. On the other hand, the other position is, no, lav litibuin. No. I'm not sinking the ship. Obviously, I'm giving the Kesef Kedushin because the plan is to get to Nisuin. But if we don't get to Nisuin for whatever reason, so I'll take the money back. Thank you very much. Or my estate will take the money back. Thank you very much. One way or the other. So the Gemara says over here that even if you subscribe to the idea of Litibum Nitnu, that's true, but that's only Bevadai. But over here in the case of Suffolk, where? And this is the case of Suffolk. Meaning after you gave the Kesef Kedushin, now what happened? She has a mum. Hold everything. Now that you have a mum, okay. Now I don't even know. I don't even know if the kedushin is valid. Okay, so now you have to bring proof. Okay, but anyway, so what we have over here seemingly now is a perfect comp, meaning the halacha of the baal chamor baal para, the chamor did the mashiach on the para with a barter in mind, and now the baal para comes and picks up its chamor. The chamor is dead, and when did it die? And the Baal Para is already holding, the Baal Chamor is already holding the Para now in his hands. So now, question. So who has the burden of proof? Right now, Shmuel's answer is Baal Chamor. Which, again, once you think about it, that in of itself already is difficult. Meaning, why should he have the burden of proof? Just give me 1 second. And when Shmuel said Tana Tuna Kala, what he meant was, I'll find a comparable case in the Mishnah. It took 3 tries. But we do have a comparable case. What's the comparable case? Where the husband gives the kest of kedushin over to his father-in-law in order to be mekadesh his wife, and now after the kedushin, a mum is discovered. So now the kest of kedushin, should it go back or should it not go back to the husband? This is a comparable case. It's a perfect comp. And now what our Mishnah taught us is burden of proof is on the father. So now, he's the one holding the money. So the burden of proof is on the father and he's holding the money. And this is now a perfect comp to our case over here where the Baal Chamor now is holding the para. He's right. He's holding the money. And now he has to prove that the Chamor was alive.
Didn't the Chamor come with the takana that if when a seller sold an item and got the money for it, and he still had the possession to deliver it, until it's delivered, he's responsible for
that's,
that?
Everything you're saying is correct. That's money. That's specific to money.
But it's an item that he has to watch after.
Correct. But over here, we're talking about a barter. You're right. You're correct. In other words, there, we're talking about whether ma'us or konos, midaraisa or not midaraisa. And you're right. The takana is that the chachamim held it off until he actually received it. But here we're talking about an actual barter between two items.
So why wouldn't it be looked at as a ma'at?
It's not ma'us. So. But your question's still good. I'm not giving you a satisfying answer, but it's not ma'us. So that takana was made by ma'us. Okay. Okay, good. So what are we going to do? We're going to pause right now. Okay, the truth of the matter is that we still have to navigate through a mishnah regarding treifas and the suffix by treifan, and we'll come back to that tomorrow. But meanwhile, so where are we right now? So first of all, we went through now the mishnah on Ayin Hey. The mishnah was difficult because the mishnah told us that beveis avia, the moment discovered, burden of proof is on him, on the father. Right, saying the word him is terrible. It's on the father. He has a burden of proof. But meanwhile, if the mum is found, beveis baala, so the burden of proof is on the baal, that the mum was there beforehand. Okay, and so what we did this morning, the first part of today's daf, is that we try to figure out what difference does it make? Well, in other words, when the mum was discovered. In other words, cheskas a gufer, cheskas mamon. Which one is going to win out? If you're a Rami Gamliel, Nick, so the cheskas a gufer is always going to win out. And if you're a Rabbi Yoshua, Nick, so then the cheskas mamon is always going to win out. So what difference does it make where you find the mum? So what we had at the end of yesterday's daf and today's daf is three different approaches to our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Taver break the Mishnah up into two halves. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. That's approach number one. Approach number two, Kanimtsu, Kanhayu. That's Rava's approach, which basically means is that where the mum was found is that's where the mum was. If it was found by Beis Avia, the mum was always there, even before Erisin. If it was found by Beis Baala, the mum only materialized now. Okay, kind of like Shinu and Makam. A little bit like Shino and Makam. And finally, the third answer of the Gemara is Ravashi. Ravashi says it depends who the towing is. Meaning, if the towing is the one who has the cheskas aguf, fantastic. Rabbi Gamliel would, of course, agree that a cheskas aguf trumps the cheskas mamon. But Beveis Avia, the father's the Toein, and she's the one with the Cheskas Aguf. And once you separate Toein and Cheskas Aguf, so that detracts from the Cheskas Aguf. Hard to explain, but that's Ravashi's approach. Good. So those are three different answers. And then finally, the rest of today's daf, which is really going to bring us to the top of the next summit. We're almost there. Is the question of the case of Bachamor Balpara. An exchange, a barter was made. The Baal Chamor picks up the para, does meshicha with the para, creating now the transfer and creating the barter and the exchange. And then when the Baal para comes and picks up his chamor, it's dead. Okay. And now the obvious litigation. In other words, they go to court. So who has to prove the case? Does the Baal Chamor have to prove the case of the Baal para? Right now, today's daf, the Baal Chamor has to prove that his chamor was alive at the time where he was Moshech the Para. Okay? In terms of Svara, didn't offer anything in terms of Svara, why that should be. But in terms of comparables, so we turned to our Mishnah, and we found a comp in our Mishnah that would seem to indicate that this is in fact so.